Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packer fans? Happy Monday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. It is Monday, which means that there is like a 48% chance that you are going to be joined by also Perry Goldstein and Grant Bills. You can find her at Perry_Goldstein. You can find him at Wisco Grant. Perry, Grant, the three of us together. It has been far too long. It is great to be chatting with you guys again. How the heck are you guys doing?
So good. That hiatus is my fault. Sorry, y'all.
But way to
good
go. To be back.
Welcome back, Perry. It's nice to have you, though.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
It is nice to have you back. I hate to agree with Grant this early in the show, but I kind of agree with him this early in the show.
The best point I'll make for the next hour.
Grant is logging off at this point. He's made his point. We're good to go.
Leave it's downhill from here, buddy.
Oh, it's amazing. No, it is great to be back chatting with both of you. It's been an interesting offseason already, and the offseason hasn't even really started yet. We've got, obviously, free agency coming up in about a week here, which is going to get very wild very fast. We had our first trade that was not completed because it can't exactly be completed yet, but Deebo Samuel headed from the 49ers to the Commanders for a fifth-round pick, so things are picking up. The quarterback carousel started and then, you know, abruptly kind of came to a halt when Matthew Stafford stayed with the Rams. And then whether or not he went anywhere, that's certainly going to affect the other quarterbacks. There's rumors and talk that Aaron Rodgers could go to the Giants, staying in New York at this point. It is all going to be very fascinating, very fast, and everything's going to happen all at once. I don't even know where I want to start from after that, but I think, Perry, there's only one place that I can ever start when it comes to having you on the show, which is at cornerback, because I know it is your favorite position. And of course, we've had a lot of Jaire Alexander talk as of late. The latest, of course, is that the Packers are open to trading Jaire Alexander. Haven't had the opportunity to talk to either of you about this situation. So, Perry, I will cede the floor to you and your thoughts on the situation going on with Jaire and Packers potentially and more likely trading him at this point.
Yeah, well, it's gotten to the worst point it could get, right? It's not in a good spot, I'd say.
Nope.
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate that it's gotten here. You hope that a first-round pick and a guy you gave a massive extension to is someone that stays with the team for so long, especially as a blue-chip talent. But I think we're pretty much past the point of expecting Jaire Alexander to be back on this roster come this coming season. So it's just a matter of, like, if the Packers can get any value for him or not. I actually don't feel great about them being able to get any trade value for him. I would love to hear what you guys think about it, but I think, like, with the amount of talk there's been out there and, like, the vibe with the situation, like, it feels inevitable that regardless they're gonna cut him. So I don't know why a team would trade for a player that they can just wait to be released. Why give up any value if you know that regardless, this team is going to release this player and he's going to be available for you not giving anything up. So I don't know if it's anyone's fault necessarily. I don't know if, like, they didn't play their cards right moment where the Packers could have done anything differently. But I think it's pretty clear that Jaire is not going to be back on the roster. And if I'm another team, I'm not reaching out to trade. I'm just waiting for the Packers to do the inevitable and trying to get him myself.
Grant, did you have a follow-up to that?
My thought process is similar to Perry in that I don't know that they're going to get anyone to pick it up. Because I think, Andy, the thing that I kept referencing this week on my show is your tweet about, like, okay, here's Jaire's contract. Here's what he stands to make if his contract continues and you acquire him. And then you think, well, if he was a free agent, would you pay him that? Would you give him that money? And the answer is probably no. I don't know why anyone would acquire him. It's a bummer of a situation for both parties. It's a bummer that Jaire couldn't play more. It's a bummer for the Packers that they didn't have him play more. Obviously wasn't available this year against the Eagles in the playoffs. And Andy, maybe your memory better serves you, but I was looking up whether or not Jaire was available against San Francisco last year in the playoffs or against Detroit in week 18 2 years ago. And I can't remember. I know he played against Tampa because he had some big plays in that game. But I'm just thinking Jair's been probably Brian Gutekunst's most game-breaking defensive draft pick. And I'm just trying to think of like his best picks. He's certainly been one of their better defensive players. And it's another guy in this last half decade, or if you want to extend it back even further, where you can look back as a Packers fan and say, man, if he was healthier over the course of his career, maybe some games would have gone differently. The Tampa game would be the first one that comes to mind, but he played in that game and played really well. I'm trying to remember the last couple of years, but I guess that's my thought. To build off of what Perry said, I don't feel great about getting trade value and, you know, a bummer for both parties and a what if for Packers fans, I guess, looking back, which is a bummer.
Yeah, he did have that interception against Dallas in the playoffs last year and then had a pretty good game against San Francisco following that. So they did have him for those two games. And it just goes to show you when he's out there and he's playing, he can make an impact. And I think that Dallas game is actually a pretty phenomenal example of that. The trade value conversation is interesting and it ebbs and flows. And it goes all the way from people thinking they're going to get like first round picks to they're going to get absolutely nothing and then everything in between. I talked about the Jason Wilde article that he wrote. He talked to three different NFL executives. One said something to the effect of it would be like a sixth round pick, or that he didn't know that they would get a sixth round pick for it. Another executive said they thought they'd get something a little bit more than that. And then another one said that he thinks that they would ask for a third and probably settle for like a fourth or a fifth round pick. So even within NFL executives that Jason Wilde was talking to, it was a pretty wide ranging in regards to what Green Bay could get in return. I think they get something. I just don't think it's going to be anything super fantastic. I think it's going to be conditional sixth, conditional seventh, conditional fifth, something in that range, give or take a little bit. And, you know, I think that just is what it is. Perry, to your point of like, well, if they're going to release him anyway, I would make a pretty similar argument actually to Deebo Samuel, who we just talked about, of they were going to release him anyway. And it just takes one team to be interested and say like, you know what? We really don't care about the fifth, sixth, seventh round pick, whatever pick that is. If we want the player and we want the ability to get him on our team and be the sole negotiator of any future contract or anything like that, again, it just takes one team to be interested. I think there will be. I have heard some rumblings that there have been a couple teams that have already reached out to Green Bay. So again, I think there's something. I'm just not super confident it's going to be anything that moves the needle in any sort of significant way. Perry, I see you're already chomping at the bit.
No, I agree with you. I think it's an apt point. I think if somebody loves the player enough and sees value and then there's a need and they're like, we don't want to give him the choice for him to be, because when he gets released, then he gets, you know, kind of the power to decide also. Because I'm sure he'll basically be a free agent, right? And I'm sure at that point there will be a number of teams vying for him. So if you are that interested, then yes, you do make a good point that you'd rather just go and make that decision before anyone else can come to the negotiating table.
I think that's what's going to be interesting is just what interest that they can drum up. Can they get teams competing against each other? It's such a weird dynamic with Jair because I don't think there's any question that if this is healthy Jair Alexander, he's the number one corner on the market in any capacity, whether it be via free agency, trade, or anything else. It just so happens that he has not been healthy. He has not been himself. He's been for 4 years now, basically banged up and injured in some capacity, which is why Green Bay and Jair Alexander are in this position in the first place. It all comes down to, again, what some team is willing to offer. You know, Perry, you mentioned it. Grant, are you in the same boat of like, do you see any opportunity for reconciliation at this point, or is it just done?
I mean, I guess you never say never. I just don't know why it would make sense for either party to return at this point. You know what I mean?
I totally know what you mean. Yeah. Like I don't think it's happening.
So no, I have not concocted or come up with some situation in my mind where I think he's back on the Packers. No.
Did you see was it Silverstein? I think reported that Green Bay didn't even go to him with a pay cut opportunity. Like they just knew he was going to say no. And they're just like, we're not even, you know, going through that, you know, whole process. Like it just seems I would, of all the things that would shock me this offseason, and maybe the thing that would shock me the most is if we enter week one of the regular season and Jair Alexander's lined up at number 23 at corner for Green Bay. I don't see a world in which it happens.
Well, and I'm trying to think from an organizational perspective, and the Packers have plenty of experience with this, with Jair over the last couple of years, and then with David Bakhtiari. I just think organizations would be smart to place real value and to consider like, like, let's say they were to bring Jaeger back, but they were able to bring the money down. Like if they were to come to him with a pay cut, like, but if he's in and out, you have this uncertainty that you're dealing with. You're shifting things around at practice. As a head coach or as a general manager, you're up late at night wondering if and when or how. Like, I just think certainty sometimes is as valuable or more valuable as high-level play. Like, would I rather have a David Bakhtiari at left tackle who's unbelievable when he plays, but I don't know when he's going to play, or player X who's a 7 out of 10 instead of a 9 out of 10, but I know he's going to be there every week, and I can build a game plan around it. Like, I think there's a lot of value there, and I think the Packers – even if they could get Jaeger's number down, which is something to Silverstein's report they didn't even explore, it's the uncertainty and it's the shuffling around every week that just has to get really old. And that's got to be detrimental on a real football level too, past just, you know, annoying head coaches and stuff.
I don't think the money was really ever like, I don't know. In my mind, money was never really a factor in this conversation. Like, they paid him the contract because he's worth the money. When, like, to Andy's point, like, when Jaeger is healthy and on the field, he is one of the best corners in the league. I mean, he won an all-pro nod for a reason. So I think, like, yeah, you could factor in getting him at a lower cost due to everything that we've discussed. But I don't think that is, like, of all the variables in that we, you know, have to look at in this scenario, it's probably like last on the list of what's most important to the team at the moment. I think if he was healthy and available and the relationship was in a good place, like, I'm sure the Packers would be happy to shell out as much as Jaeger would be willing to take to keep him. So I kind of get why they were like, this isn't even worth trying to figure out how to get him back on a, you know, negotiated down deal. That's not really like why we're in this position in the first place. They have the money, they have the cap space to do it.
I mostly agree with that. And the fact that if he's healthy, it's the contracts are not like, it's a non-issue completely. Right. You just pay him. I think it's somewhat of a combination of like, you have this $17 million contract plus with somebody who can't play, with the bigger piece of it very clearly being that he has not been able to play consistently for 4 seasons. But you add on top of it $17 million that you can get out of. And I think that definitely plays some factor as well. But to your point, again, biggest thing is the injury issues and his inability to get out on the field. And to your point, Grant, availability and consistency, it's key. If you can't be out there, if you can't be consistent, I mean, you as a coach want as much consistency from that availability standpoint, but also what you're getting on the field. You know, we'll talk about Josh Myers a little bit later, but the hard thing with Myers is he'll give you an A from time to time, but he'll give you an F from time to time. And you don't know if it's going to be an A or an F in any given moment, in any given week. You're just never sure what you're going to get. That makes it so hard to game plan for. You don't know if you're going to have your all-pro corner out there in Jaeger Alexander, or if he's going to miss 8 consecutive weeks out of nowhere. That makes it very hard to game plan and kind of put together a plan for the season when those are your variables. Variables are not good when you're a head coach or a GM. You want as many constants and consistency as possible. And when you have all these variables that are out there in the ether, it makes it really hard to kind of game plan and just set up everything that you need to for the course of the season. And that's clearly, I think, one of the reasons why Green Bay might be trying to go in a different direction, just get a little semblance of consistency moving forward.
Well, and the thing is, like, if you're going to pay top dollar at a given position as a general manager, you kind of have to then, okay, that position's good. You know what I mean? We paid a premium for it. That's not something that I'm going to have to worry about. That's not something that I'm going to have to, you know, stay up at night wondering, do I have to tweak? Do I have to add? Like, if we're paying Davante Adams a pile of money, that's our wide receiver position and we'll fill in the cracks best we can, but we have paid a premium to have that taken care of. If you've paid a premium for Jaeger, like, he kind of needs to shut down half of the field for the math to work, right? From a team building and from a coaching perspective. So it's one thing to have a player who's not available. It's another to have a player who's not available who's making a ton of money. Because then what are we paying for? You know what I mean? Now we're paying for potential. We're paying for this talent that this guy has. But really what this contract is for is we have an awesome corner. He should be able to shut down half of the field and make our life easier. And if you're not able to pay for that, if you're not able to get your investment back, then I think it's just kind of a non-starter, which is why the Packers are like, screw this, we're getting out of this business.
Yeah, which I think makes sense. It's going to be very, again, interesting to see what ends up happening, what Green Bay gets in return. And hopefully we are all wrong. And hopefully it's like, you know, 17 first round picks and we're, you know, completely on the wrong side of it. But we'll see what happens and we'll see if they actually are able to recoup some sort of compensation for Jaeger Alexander. Another player that we all knew was going to either be on the block or eventually released in some capacity. It was just a matter of time. But now it was reported by Ian Rappaport as well. Davante Adams is now officially on the block, and the Jets are looking for offers. If he does, if they do not get an offer, they will release him, is sort of the thought process here. And of course, Green Bay has been, or at least fans have been questioning as to whether or not there could be this reunion with Green Bay and Davante Adams. Peter Bukowski of The Leap and a rival podcast, which will not be named, just kidding, it's Locked On Packers. He reported that that there is interest in Green Bay for a potential reunion with Davante Adams. So Perry Grant, whoever wants to go first, your thoughts on a potential reunion here. And if we're getting closer to number 17, not Brandon McManus, Davante Adams returning to Green Bay in 2025.
I mean, I can go because I don't get it from Pete. Like and he was at the Super Bowl when we were down there, and he's been barking up this Jair for Davante Adams, calling in like just one for one. And if that makes sense, then someone's going to need to explain it to me as to why that makes sense. Like, why would I take my problem and give it to you, and you take your problem and give it to me? Like, maybe it makes sense. I had Pete explain it to me in person, and I think I understand his thinking less now than I did before.
And you're talking now specifically Jair for Davante Adams, or just Davante in general?
He's been screaming from the hilltops, just trade Jair for Davante. It makes sense for both parties, which I don't get. I don't think acquiring Davante makes any sense for the Packers the same way that it wouldn't make sense for me to trade to Jair for Jair, right? We just talked through that. So it's a different position, but it seems similar. At least it's the inverse, right? Like, for the same reason no one wants the guy that we're trying to trade away, I don't really want to trade for the other guy.
Davante actually solves a problem and a need for the
Packers. He plays. Right? That's obviously a huge difference.
And like, when you look at the numbers, like, Davante played for two of the worst offenses in the league last year. Okay. He played for the Raiders and the Jets and still had an over 1,000 yard season and 8 touchdowns. Like, two of the worst offenses that my eyes bled watching. I even watched one of them live, and Davante still looks fabulous. So I'm not talking about a trade, like including Jair. I'm talking purely Davante trading for him in a vacuum. He solves a problem. He plugs a hole. He obviously will change the dynamic of the offense and of the wide receiver room as a whole. And I think that should probably be like discussed, because anytime, and we'll talk about another name that has been floating in the ether that I learned about today. When you bring in a wide receiver one, which, you know, this man certainly is, it changes things. But as far as talent, he has it. And if you want to bring age into the question, doesn't matter. He still produces at like a supremely high level. We can talk about, because I actually have some ideas. I was discussing them tonight over dinner around like what a trade package could look like with the Jets. Never included Jair Alexander. I think there's a world where this happens, and I'm trying to not think about it from I would love to see Davante back because I loved him, you know, the first iteration. I'm thinking about it from trying to be a little bit more objective. Yeah. I think it actually it doesn't not make sense.
I'm very curious. Well, actually, first, before we get to that, Grant, I want you to, as best you can, regurgitate as much of the Bukowski idea of trading Jair. No, he's already shaking his head. So
I remember nothing. The only thing I remember is you get exclusive negotiating rights. I think he was talking about that. And I'm like, I remember very little. I remember nothing of it. I think he said that, or maybe that's just something that my brain's filling in the gaps.
That makes a ton of sense. So, I mean, all right, so let's just role play out Jair for Davante for a minute. You can theoretically, I think, find a world in which Perry's already being like, no, I don't think so. I think you can figure out a way that this makes sense in some capacity, simply because you are both looking for something in return for either of them. Perry's gonna lose it. She's just like, she's very against this. I don't even like, no, you're not allowed to unmute. I just want to get your reactions on video. I'm sorry for anyone that's watching it or listening on the audio version. It's just go and listen to this portion on the video, because Perry's reactions while I'm going over this are just priceless in and of themselves. We'll try to do them justice and play by play as we go along here. But you're basically, for Green Bay, you're trying to get anything you can for Jair. For the Jets, you're basically trying to get anything you can for Devontae. You're both theoretically, or at least possibly, for Jair, probably going to need to work out a new contract when he gets to a new place if some team were to trade for him. For Devontae, you're absolutely going to have to work out a new contract when he gets to a new place. So there's not really any kind of question there. So you're basically looking at these two players that are in almost identical situations. Devontae, as Perry mentioned, makes sense for Green Bay. He'd be their number one wide receiver, would fill a gap, you know, be a solution. Jair, if DJ Reed does in fact leave the Jets and they are in a situation where they are looking at a potential replacement for DJ Reed or want to continue to try to win now in some capacity, this could theoretically make sense for them as well. The hard part though with these sort of trades is twofold. Number one, you have they'd have to feel like it was equal value. So for example, you would have to have a situation where the Packers felt like Devontae Adams was worth the same draft capital that they think they can get in return for Jair Alexander. And it has to be the exact same situation for the Jets with Devontae Adams, that they feel like Jair is equal value for Devontae. And sometimes teams just don't see eye to eye on that stuff. And if there is any discrepancy, if the Jets are like, we actually view Jair as a seventh rounder and we view Devontae as a fourth rounder, and then, you know, Green Bay feels like they can get, knows that they can get a fourth or fifth rounder for Jair on the open market, you just end up shipping them other places and doing the deal separately, right? And it makes more sense to do it that way. I think the other aspect of this that's always difficult is when you have a player for player swap, especially in this situation where Jair has had all the injuries that he has. Now you have to do, you know, basically the physicals on both sides and figure out a way. All right, now Devontae's got to pass his, Jair's got to pass his, and you just add more complexity to that as well. So I think it's more likely that they are in separate deals, but I don't think from Peter's standpoint, it's completely this bizarro freakazoid, no chance in hell kind of deal. I just don't think it's very likely.
It's the contracts for me, right? Like, I don't want Devontae on that deal.
But no, you wouldn't. No, nobody's taking Devontae on that deal. It's sort of like the pre-known idea going into that. It's like, Devontae, I have as good a chance of playing for whatever, like the $35 million that Devontae is supposed to make this year as Devontae as of making sure. The $35 million. So like it's fake. It's like that meme of like, it's fake. We made it up. It's not real. Like, you know, it's just, that's exactly what that contract is.
So he gets to Green Bay and then they immediately restructure, or he takes a pay cut, or like someone, that's another mechanic that needs to be explained to me, I guess.
And that's the hard part. And that's kind of what I mentioned initially, is like, you're probably going to have to renegotiate both of these contracts. So again, which makes a deal like this harder to do, because the Jets have to be willing to say, we'll take on Jair and we're going to renegotiate the contract with him. And the Packers have to be willing to take on Devontae and be willing to renegotiate the deal with him. And when you trade for a player, now the agents have a little bit more leverage as well to be like, you just traded Jair Alexander for this guy. We want a better contract. You just traded something for him. And the Jets and Jair Alexander, now Jair's like, you just traded Devontae Adams for him. Like, you better give him a new contract or he's not going to play for you guys. And the Jets are going to be, by the way, remarkably not wanting to do anything like this after the Hassan Reddick situation a year ago. So they're going to be remarkably cautious with any sort of trades for players moving forward. So again, I think it's probably a non-starter in its entirety, but I can at least see Peter's vision as to where he's coming from here, which Perry still is not a fan of.
This trade just feels like bad business to me. And I feel like the Packers don't do bad business trades. The Jets do, like we've seen them do it. That's a no shade for if there are any Jets fans listening, like we've watched it. The Packers don't do stupid. This is stupid. This feels like, no offense to Peter, he does make good points, you know, occasionally, but this feels very like fandom based trade, like Madden based. Oh, the Jets and the Packers, you know, there's a history here. They'll do this trade. That's the vibe I get with this. I the ages don't match. Like, the needs don't match. To your point, Grant and Andy, the contracts don't match. There would be so much work for both sides to have to do, like, once the trade is done. It just, like, it's, I think it's supremely difficult to find a true one-to-one swap for players. And this one doesn't feel like a good fit at all.
Hey friends, all football season we talk about all the amazing options that Prize Picks has available and the multiple different stat categories and promotions that are there for you to take advantage of. But it's worth noting that Prize Picks has you set for all of your favorite sports, not just football, and it is a great time of year to get invested in college basketball, soccer, pro hoops, and much, much more. And while there's never a bad time to sign up, right now you can download the app and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It is guaranteed. So who are you taking for Prize Picks this week? For me, I'm going with Anthony Edwards and LaMelo Ball to put on a show on Wednesday night, Evan Mobley to dominate on Friday, and David Pastrnak to have a massive game for Boston on Thursday. No matter what season it is, just make sure that you don't forget to download the Prize Picks app and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks, run your game.
And I totally get that. I don't think it happens, but it's an interesting conversation nonetheless. Let's go to the other big trade talk thing that happened over the course of the last few days. And that is DK Metcalf. I talked about this the other day, but we got the initial tweet from Corbin Smith that the, you know, keep an eye on the Packers. They've already had conversations with the Seahawks. This was on Friday, and they've already got an offer out on the table of a high pick and a young receiver. Peter Bukowski then confirmed it. Brian Nemhauser, who's a journalist that covers the Seahawks for over 18 years, says DK is not going anywhere. Corbin Smith then says that the Seahawks would want pick 23 plus either Romeo Doubs or Dontarian Wicks, which again gives you a little bit of reason for pause. Obviously it's Dontavian Wicks. And then said anything else than that, it's not happening. Matt Schneidman then comes in and says, according to a source, there's been no contact or negotiations between the Packers or the Seahawks. He did say as of now, but you know, regarding a DK Metcalf trade. And then per Corbin Smith again, he said, I'm sticking with what I've been reported or what I've reported. I trust the sources I've spoken with. Teams are going to do what they can to cover themselves this time of year. So there's some other stuff that was in there as well. But DK Metcalf, Green Bay Packers, this is one that Justice Mosqueda has been pushing for. I've talked about it. I did a full episode on it a few weeks ago as to whether or not Green Bay could potentially trade for him. Maybe there's something there. Maybe it's much ado about nothing. Grant, I'll start with you this time. Your thoughts on a potential DK to Green Bay trade, if it makes any sense.
Well, this broke it Friday. This is my favorite sports story in the last couple of years. Like, this story will ever, it was for always have a place in my heart, because I had to do the last 2 hours of our morning show on Friday.
Oh,
4 hours of Bill, and then 2 hours in the evening of my own show. And I was like, it's Wisconsin, Michigan State preview, which is fine, but like, that's not filling 8 hours. And this broke like 15 minutes right before our midday show went on air. I'm like, it was manna from heaven. I mean, the fit is incredible. You put him in Christian Watson's spot. He's not the precise, you know, I believe the phrase bucket getter has been used maybe by Pete, or maybe I'm misremembering that, like a guy who's going to run a super precise route and be, you know, good hands on fourth and six when you got to have it. He's probably not going to be that guy, but he can be Christian Watson. And then you can hope that Reed and Wicks and Kraft continue to progress. It's not like you blow up your entire young core. Romeo Doubs is probably the player that was in the trade talk. It probably makes sense to ship him out because you're not really sure. Do we want to extend him or not? Oh, who knows? Okay, so trade him. He makes perfect sense. I just feel like Seattle has no reason to move him if they don't absolutely get a godfather offer. And I don't think the Packers are going to give it to him. So that's where I think the dream at least dies for now. We'll see.
Godfather offer. I like that term a lot. Really like that.
Like the last report was what, like Romeo Doubs in a first? Like I see why the Packers aren't going to do that, but like, would they do it for Doubs in a second? Like, I think that needs to back off a ways. And if, why would Seattle back off? They don't need to get rid of him. He's not disgruntled as far as we know. He's a good player and they're contending. They're trying to win.
They're not in a great position from a salary cap standpoint. They're definitely over the cap, but we know how this stuff works. They can get under the cap and find, you know, money in the banana stand if need be to pay DK Metcalf. So that's within the realm of possibility.
needs an extension anyways. So if you just extend them, you can push that money like that. That actually helps them.
Very know? True. Very well
or said. They can get rid of him, but why get rid of a great player if the option is keeping him and, you know, lining your money up?
DK feel a DK trade would, again, feel like one of those things. Like, why are you giving a NFC contender the push that it needs to, like, probably be great? Like, DK on the Packers would just, to Grant's point, like, that's a slam dunk for this team and for this offense. Like, I see if the trade happens, sign me up. I have no notes. 10 out of 10. First round pick would be hard to stomach. I think other teams would do it. I think the Packers wouldn't. I can see another team sending a first round pick. It doesn't feel like something Brian Gutekunst would do. And I
can't imagine that. The very first time that Goody trades away a first round pick, it's for DK Metcalf. And that's not even anything against DK Metcalf. A wide receiver.
He wasn't even a first rounder, like, in his own
second round, late draft. Second. Yeah. Right.
He's obviously fantastic. And I think if another team made that trade, I would be like, yeah, I mean, yeah, like, DK is that dude. He's more than Christian Watson. Like, he would do more in this offense than the Christian Watson role. He'd be, he'd be a star. And again, I think he would be that, like, oomph that this offense supremely missed this past season. But again, why would the Seahawks, an NFC foe, do that if they don't have to? I'm kind of in the Grant category where I'm like, if it happens, oh yeah, oh hell yeah. I'm all for it. Get me the jersey. But, like, I would be like side eye. Like, are we missing something? Is something happening inside? Is there a locker room situation? We don't know. Like, what, why would the Seahawks do that?
This is my biggest issue with it, is because you just said you get the jersey. He can't wear number 14 in Green Bay. It just, I can't picture him in any other number. So, like, what's he going to do? Like,
that's 80? Your issue.
Yeah. That's my issue. And okay. Obviously the most logical and reasonable, like, debate, you know, topic here of, like, if he can't wear number 14, it's just not even worth it. You just, like, the number is way too important. I can't, like, what's he gonna do? 84? I can't watch DK Metcalf don number 84 in Green Bay. Yeah, it's vomit worthy. So I don't know. Now, the other thing too is there was a report today from the aforementioned, I don't even know what was his name again, Corbin Smith, that the Bills and Chiefs are now in, you know, have interest in DK Metcalf as well, which those teams would make all the sense in the world. And you could easily see either of those teams giving up a first round pick, maybe to add DK Metcalf to their offenses to try to put them over the top, with especially two quarterbacks like Mahomes and Allen throwing the ball down the field. Metcalf could potentially make a ton of sense for either of those teams as well. Just don't see it.
I literally hate to see him on the Chiefs, like, hate that so much.
They can actually push the ball down the field again, which I'm sure Mahomes would love to do, especially after losing in a Super Bowl. Like, it's one thing to win Super Bowls and play boring. It's another to lose them and not, you know, get to sling the rock over the field. Another thing, because I took a ton of calls on this on Friday, a first or a second round pick, you know, that's ridiculous. And I think the price is steep. It's also funny to me, and I'm a part of this, so I'm not, like, calling out Packers fandom. I'm a part of this. It's funny how quickly we go from, Goody, you gotta go all in. Like, you have to, like, this is the offseason where you have to go for it. And then the first thing that comes up where it's like, yeah, it might be like Dobbs.
Too steep.
High pick. It's like, you're not a chance. You can't do that. It's like, well, I'm not saying that I want the Packers to overpay.
Pick a lane.
But I know a lot of Packers fans are like, we need a Woodson or Reggie White or Julius Pepper, like, one of these moves. And, like, players that great, you're not going to get them cheap. You might get them on short-term contract like they did with the Peppers. You might, but, like, it's going to hurt a little bit when you have to go get one of these guys. So I just think that that's funny, and I'm totally a part of it, because I've been yelling about how they need to get more aggressive, and then they get an opportunity. I'm like, hey, it's a little much, baby. It's just funny.
Scared money don't make money is a thing that I think people say. I'm not exactly positive, but it sounds like
something you say all the time. You mean?
That's, yes, not exactly. Yeah, I just go along saying that pretty much all day. Like, especially when, like, I'm, like, making a purchase of, like, oh, what, they raised, you know, Mountain Dew Kickstart to $3. Oh, you know what? Scared money don't make money. So we're going to buy 7 of them. All right. DJ Reed is the next one I wanted to talk about here as we continue our spin around the NFL rumor mill. Rob Domofsky reported that he's been in touch with an agent, and an agent specifically said that Green Bay is going to be a player in this year's free agency market, and specifically stated
that defense. You're full of it today, Perry. We're getting peak Perry Gold season.
I'm sorry. It's just like Green Bay is always a player. Green Bay is always in the mix. They're always on the phone. Like, I don't put stock into these. Like, I love hearing it, right? And it's fun to have these conversations, and DJ Reed would be awesome. But like, the as soon as you said like in the mix, I'm just like,
I didn't say that. I said a player.
Sorry, a player.
Here's the other thing too. Like, I actually want to fight back on this for a second.
Some of us have to take that phrase and turn it into 6 hours of content a day. So you laugh, but some of us make our livelihoods off these.
Perry Goldstein. Here's the other thing I want to say. Goody has had money to spend three times. The three times he's had money to spend, Jimmy Graham plus Mercedes Lewis plus like Quentin Dial and a few other things, Muhammad Wilkerson. Muhammad Wilkerson as well. In that very first free agent class. So like Jimmy Graham, Mercedes Lewis, Muhammad Wilkerson, plus other stuff is not a small free agency class. He follows that up with Billy Turner, Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, Adrian Amos the very next year. And then the next that he had about what, 2 or 3 years in there where he just had no money to spend whatsoever. And he tried his best. Like he got the Rick Wagners, the Devondre Campbells, the, Sammy Watkins, I think was in there. Like he tried his best to like make something out of absolutely nothing, but he didn't have any money to spend. The very next time he had free agent money to spend, it's Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney. So in three off seasons, when he's had money, he has gone out every single time and wasn't just aggressive, was like extremely aggressive. And like, if you're saying in three off seasons, the only time he's had money, like Jimmy Graham, Muhammad Wilkerson, and then Billy Turner, Adrian Amos, Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, Josh Jacobs, and Xavier McKinney. That's like eight fairly significant free agent signings in three off seasons when he's had money. So I'm obviously saying it in jest with you, Perry, but I've already seen this thing of like, oh, Green Bay is always going to be in the negotiations or whatever. Like, no, when they've had money, they have put their money literally where their mouth has been, and they've gone out and made these deals happen.
I know you're just joking with me. But I think it's warranted to also like pump the brakes a little bit, especially on March 2nd when we're recording this, that like agents also have a stake in this game for the players that they represent.
I'm removing Perry because we're not pumping brakes on anything. This is peak off season and we are going all in Perry Goldstein. She's immediately giving me the finger.
Okay, fine. I'll be crazy and all in with you. DJ Reed.
No pumpage of brakes, Perry Goldstein.
Talk about DJ Reed. Woo! I mean, he would be sick. He fits a need also. Like he's like firmly in the mix of someone that I would hope the Packers would be interested in this offseason. Like we need a CB1. We just talked about the one that's leaving.
There you go. So just to just kind of finish the previous point, as the Packers will be a major player in free agency, Goldstein. He mentioned defensive end or defensive line, corner, and wide receiver as the positions that Green Bay is going to be aggressive, extremely aggressive. Nobody's ever been this aggressive. It's the most aggressive anyone's been in the history of aggression this offseason. And apparently, again, one of the names that was out there that Green Bay could have interest in was DJ Reed. So Perry very clearly all in on DJ Reed and is wanting Green Bay to do everything they can to go get him. Grant, I'll let you go on a DJ Reed tangent and or aggressiveness tangent, whatever you want to do. We're off the rails.
I mean, I think DJ Reed would be great. The further removed we get from the season, Andy and Perry, we talked all year about how, well, they're SOL at corner. They got nobody at corner and corner's a nightmare. And I still don't think they were that great at corner, but I don't know that it really hurt them that much. And maybe that's because they didn't play a ton of elite quarterbacks. Like maybe if let's say this magical world exists where there's a great free agent available at every position, right? Which isn't true, but let's just say for the sake of this conversation, there is. I think the Packers' money would be better spent on an impact edge rusher, right? Or a wide receiver. I think the Packers could throw three draft picks at the cornerback position and probably be pretty good. They got high level safety play, both young and old, or veteran and young behind Edger and Cooper in front. Like I would probably rather handle cornerback with a couple of draft picks like they did with safety last year, the wide receiver the year before. I think that would do the trick. You already have Nixon there, who's a veteran. He's not amazing, but he's a veteran and he can move around and be versatile as well. But if the opportunity is, well, you can have DJ Reed or nothing, right? Well, then I'd rather spend it on DJ Reed, because it's not like you can have DJ Reed or these awesome edge rusher. Like, it's a marketplace and you don't know what's going to be available. But if all things were equal, I would rather throw a bunch of draft picks at corner and then spend that money somewhere else, is my point.
Fair enough. Perry?
Yeah, I mean, the draft is hard too. Like, I think we've heard a lot of reports around, you know, them wanting to take a corner the last two-ish years, and someone ahead of them have taken all the guys they liked on their board. So obviously we're talking like perfect world. You'd prefer to spend your money here in free agency and here in the draft. But I think it's the same issue that you talked about with free agency, that you just, it's really always unclear who's going to be available. I feel like I need to redeem myself a little bit. I am very excited about the Packers having money available to them, and also the fact that they might be like moving us into our next segment, and I didn't mean to do that so naturally, but they don't have a ton of guys, if any, that they're actually re-signing of their own free agents. And that it's a very rare year for them in that regard. They usually prioritize those. And this is the first time in quite a while that there isn't at least one or two are like, okay, well, they're definitely bringing X and X back, and that takes up, you know, this amount of money, and so it leaves us with this. Like, the money that they have is really going to be only for either for people who are available. So it's going to be a unique year for Goot, and I am excited to see what he does with it, Andy. It's going to be fun.
You know, they're just going to be in all the conversations and they're not actually going to do anything anyway, so...
I mean, maybe I just keep myself that way and then I just get excited. Like when Xavier McKinney,
I
couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it.
No redemption needed.
You're always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
No redemptions needed. Your points are all very, very valid. And I do think, like, even Goody last week was talking about, like, you know what? The price has to be right. There has to be the right free agents out there. And it doesn't always end up that way. And the free agent class is very mid this year. I'll be frank. I have no real interest in DJ Reed. Like, DJ Reed at like a normal contract. I know you're going to be mad at me now. I know you're going
to
love
that. I thought I was being picky. I'm glad that Andy are aligned on this. I didn't mean to rain on the DJ Reed parade. This made my night. Continue, Andy.
I think they need to go and spend money in free agency. I just don't have a ton of interest in DJ Reed. DJ Reed at like, I don't know, $8 to $9 million per year sounds awesome. Like DJ Reed at like $23 million per year sounds terrible. So, that's just, you know, I think he's going to be a solid number two corner. He doesn't fit Green Bay's profile of what they usually like at corner anyway. I just don't see him being their answer. I don't totally buy that Green Bay has a lot of interest in him. Also, if they get him, right, if they get DJ Reed, he's a good player that will add to this team. It's not, it just is like, is it worth the value of what you have to give up to get him at this point? But I think there's better ways to spend that money to make this team better in other situations. And Grant, to your point, I'm kind of with you too, of like, sign me up for more pass rush. And Grant, if we're doing like, what's the ESPN show where they hand out points? Like,
Around the Horn?
Yeah, Around the Horn. Grant's got a lot of points on Around the Horn today. Perry's just in the negatives. I'm just kidding. I'm probably well in the negatives.
Good.
No, I don't even remember what I was saying, but I know, I think there's opportunities to spend elsewhere that make this team better than going out and spending a huge contract on DJ Reed or maybe even one of the, like any of the top corners. I'm more like a Paulson Adebo, you know, sort of type signee, add to the room a little bit more than like maybe one of the top tier guys in this free agent class. But you did bring up re-signing players, and one of the players that is of interest for Green Bay is Josh Myers. There was a report on Sunday that there is a large market for Josh Myers, that he is going to get PAID paid. All other teams are players in free agency too, apparently. And so what that means for Myers in Green Bay, I don't know. How aggressive Green Bay will be at trying to resign him, I don't know. I'm just going to say this. I'm going to be, maybe the most disappointing thing that could happen this offseason for me would be if Green Bay decides to give like some sort of like 15, 16 mil, something crazy on like a 4-year deal to have Josh Myers return at center. Yeah, I'm just going to leave it at that. That would be a very hard use of resources that I would vehemently disagree with in that situation. I don't think it's going to be the case. I think even with a large market, I think he's probably closer to that 8, 9, 10 million per year. But man, even that would be a tough pill for me to swallow, I think.
I agree with you. I also just wouldn't like track with the way they've drafted the last couple of years. Like, they have a number of options inside the building for them to like move if he was gone. So like and when we already talked about like he's very inconsistent. So I'm glad he has a market, and I wish for every player to get the bag, because you know they have a very difficult, you know, job, and if they get hurt, like take care of them. But if they give him the JRJ contract, I hope it is elsewhere.
Grant, you agree or you disagree?
Well, no, I agree. John Runyon Jr. is like the perfect touch point for this, right? Like, good player, could do a lot worse. Wouldn't mind having you here, but like not on that next contract. So good luck and go get paid. And it's funny you mentioned like, well, Perry, when you said it doesn't track with the way that they draft, I'm like, I don't know what that means. But then you kept speaking and you were like, considering the options that they have, because they've drafted all of these guys, and Jacob Monk was one that Andy and I think we talked about 2 weeks ago, right? Like flashed in camp and then kind of disappeared. But they have some other options on the inside, and it's probably a room they'll add to anyways. I think you can find a serviceable center either in your system or in the draft to come in and do the job for the most part that Josh Myers has done 100%. And I'm sure the Packers feel the exact same way.
That's the one piece I don't know about. I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
To be fair, the Packers seem to like Josh Myers. Like, there has not been a discrepancy with the Packers in how they view a guy, at least from what we're told, versus how everyone else views a guy. Like, you make an excellent point. It's probably worth mentioning and talking about, Andy. Like, they have always just spoke glowingly about him. And I don't know if they've evaluated him differently than folks like you. I don't know. But that's very true. Like, they seemingly love this guy. So maybe they do. I don't know. Maybe they shock the world. I don't know.
Negative points for Grant. I hope they don't shock the world. That would be a big bummer. But yeah, I think that's the, again, maybe if there's like a nervous, you know, moment for me this offseason, it's going to be that. And again, if they bring him back and it's a reasonable contract, probably not a fan of it, but I can at least understand the logic to some extent. Bringing him back on a big contract is going to be very, very difficult if that's the direction that they go in. All right, I want to wrap this up with one final question for today. I think this is a fun one. What should be the Packers' biggest goal of this offseason? And I don't necessarily mean this in the, well, they need a number one wide receiver or they have to get a defensive end, or like, what should be their goal to improve the team? For example, maybe it's that they need to get more pressures, which is why they need a defensive end, or they need to make sure that Jordan Love is living up to his contract and be the best version of Jordan Love, which is why they need a better offensive line or a number one wide receiver, or just in general, what is the Packers, or what should be the Packers' biggest goal this offseason?
I can go first, Grant, if you need a second to think. This is vague maybe, but I think it can encompass a few things. I think the Packers need to determine what their identity is. And I think they're getting there, but I don't know if like being the youngest team in the league is like, I feel like that's been their identity the last two seasons. It's like, look at all this really young talent. That's so exciting that they're the first, you know, youngest team to do all the things that they've been doing, but that's not sustainable. And so I think they need to determine like what their identity is going to be, and then like build off that. They have some like really wonderful core pieces. Are they going to be, you know, this offensive juggernaut, this running, amazing running game that we saw? And are they going to build off that this offseason? Are they going to lean into the top 10 defense that Jeff Hafley showed us he can build? Just like what is that identity? Cause I think that they felt a little like listless this past season. And they need to figure out like what it is that they are, what their core is, what they're building around.
Okay. I like that. Grant, what about you?
They got to grow up, and that means a lot of different things. Like the guys who are going into year three, and I thinking specifically of Tucker Kraft, Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, like it's time to grow up a little bit, be more consistent, be more trustworthy for your quarterback, you know, wrangle in the practice habits, the focus, the attention to detail. Same goes for Jordan Love as a vocal leader. And you heard Goody and Matt LaFleur both talk about that there in the year presser. to Jordan Love grow up a little bit. And I think from a roster construction standpoint too, if we're talking about bringing in exterior free agents or making a trade for a guy like DK Metcalf, for example, that's just one example, or Devontae Adams, like if you're bringing guys in, like it's with the goal of transitioning from young plucky team to a team that's truly ready to contend for a championship. And those are Goody's words, unprompted, right? That's what he said. So I think you can use that kind of idea to apply to everybody and all the coaches on the roster. Like it's time to grow up. It's time to go from this young budding team that they've been to a team that's legitimately ready to contend and win big games. And that's both in practice habits, you know, performance of team roster construction, all the things.
Like Grant's winning this episode. Love that.
Excuse me. And to your point, Perry, I'm going to actually very much agree with Grant here. And I had something very similar, and that's just internal progression. And that's from the young players on this team, still a very young team. And Perry, you're obviously kind of alluding to this as well in some capacity. They're going to add a couple of free agents or trade, whatever it might be. Those players will really help the team. No question about it. They're obviously going to get a new slew of draft picks, some of which will help the team, many of which will be red shirts or not help the team this year. But the vast majority of this 53-man roster are going to be, you know, probably 35, 40 of them, maybe 45, probably 40, somewhere in that range, are going to be players that were already on this team, and the majority of which are probably 26 and under. And I think for that group, there's still so much opportunity for growth. And I think to me, if I were the Packers, my number one A objective this offseason is how do we get the Dontavian Wickses, the Jaden Reeds, the Jordan Loves, the Emmanuel Wilsons, the Marshawn Lloyds, that we can go on and on, obviously on the defensive side of the ball as well. We can go on and on with all these players, Tucker Kraft, Luke Musgrave. How can we get these players playing to the best of their ability? Because to me, as exciting as a free agent or a trade option that could come to this team is going to be, and we're going to be freaking out when it happens, there's going to be a lot more players that are making an impact on a down-to-down basis that are already on this roster that have so much talent and so much potential. And if they leave it to the point where it's untapped potential and they don't reach it, it's going to be a massive disappointment. All of that time, effort, and energy that you put into finding these young, talented players and building this roster where they're all going to be the same ages at the same time and peaking at the same time all goes for nothing if they never peak. There's no peaking at the right time if you never peak. So I want to see, and hopefully guys like DeMarcus Covington, who they brought in as the new defensive line coach and those sort of things, hopefully those sort of things can start getting this team in the direction that it needs to go. But to your point, Grant, it's time for this team to grow up. Goody talked about the urgency of this team. It is time for everyone to find that urgency and get to play in their peak Green Bay Packers football.
Well, and I don't love Debo Samuel at this point of his career, just to use an example. Like, I think he's probably a little over the hill, but that's a move that the Commanders made, a team that's not on that dissimilar of a timeline from the Packers. That's a guy who's played in big games and performed at a high level in really big games, right? When the chips are down in an NFC championship game or in a Super Bowl, like that's a move that's like, hey, we're growing up here. You know what I mean? Like we're taking a step from a team that surprised everyone in year one with Jaden Daniels to a team that like, we're not satisfied or we're not just waiting around. So that's an example of, to me, how an outside move, Andy, you spoke to the inside and I agree, but an example of how an outside move can send a message, right? And make a point. Even for a player that I don't like, I don't love Debo Samuel at this point, but I think it makes a statement about where the Commanders are. And I would like to see similar things from the Packers, I guess, is my point.
Like it. Like it a lot. Any final thoughts on that, Perry?
No, I think it's a good one. I think it's, along the lines of what I was thinking. It's like this team needs to come together and just like decide who they are, right? Which is like, are you really like this team that we think you are, to your point, Andy, like, are you just untapped potential or are you going to reach that potential and do something with it? And I think we all hope, right, it's the latter, but they all need to decide and buck up and like become that. And I think there's a level of like maturity and Grant put it very simply, like, grow up, but I think maturity that they need to reach this offseason. So I don't know necessarily if it always comes from external forces, but we did see, I think, really nice steps from the external folks they brought in this last offseason in Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney. I think they helped a lot. So I am hopeful that whatever moves Goot does do, to Grant's point, that it will bring a level of maturity and cohesion to this team that they're missing.
Knock on wood, Goody really, I guess I should take that back. I was going to say Goody never really missed in any major, but Jimmy Graham was a pretty significant miss. I take it back. Never mind. And I don't want to jinx anything anyway. So hopefully he can just keep his recent run of good free agent signings going, because that would certainly help in a big way as well. All right. I think that does it for us today. Perry, Grant, any final thoughts before we get out of here? I have
one. It's crazy how quickly things turn around from Super Bowl to Combine. I think, Andy, we talked about this in one of our previous chats, but I like how we just move on from the Super Bowl into very serious offseason things. And I think this is going to be an exciting couple months for the Packers. So I'm looking forward to it.
Speaking of very serious offseason things, Wednesday, April 23rd, the night before the draft in Green Bay, 7 to 9 p.m., I'm going to be hosting a live Q&A at Hagemeister Park in Green Bay. In 7 to 9, I'll probably hang around after for a little bit of a meet and greet, or maybe we'll go somewhere else and hang out and grab a drink after as well. But make sure to come to that. It's totally free. We're going to talk Packers draft and just Packers in general for a couple hours live in person. Again, Hagemeister Park, downtown Green Bay, 7 to 9. There's going to be a ton of events going on downtown Green Bay the night before the draft. So make sure to come check it out. And again, I will be live Hagemeister Park, 7 to 9, night before the draft. That's my spiel. Make sure to go follow Grant and Perry. Grant, where can we find all of your incredible work?
Probably Twitter is the best place to look. I'm on Twitter at Wisco Grant, but the show is the Wisco Sports Show, and it's on YouTube and Facebook and wherever you get your podcasts as well. Pretty easy.
And Perry, unfortunately, due to your points in today's performance, you do not get to make any plugs on the way out. So where can we find all of your incredible work, Perry?
Bye. You can follow me on all the socials at Perry_Goldstein, but most importantly to follow the other podcast that I do. It's actually the more important one.
So false. It's actually Packs, they do amazing work.
Packs What She Said, PWSS podcast. Maggie and I have taken a little break since the Super Bowl, but we are going to be back when free agency hits. So just like follow the socials and look out for when our episodes start again.
Make sure to follow them at, again, Packs What She Said. And of course, the brains of the operation, you can follow at Maggie J. Loney on Twitter as well. So make sure it's to follow her. You can follow him at Wisco Grant. You can find her at Perry_Goldstein. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL. And of course, the podcast at Packaday Podcast. That's going to do it for us today. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.